Almighty God, by the working of your Holy Spirit, grant that we may gladly hear your word proclaimed among us and follow its directing. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in the Apostles' Tide is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 28th chapter. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah, the prophet, in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true, and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet hear now this word that I speak, in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who precede you and me from ancient times have prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God."
Plead my cause and redeem me.
Give me life according to your promise.
Look on my affliction and deliver me.
For I do not forget your law.
Plead my cause and redeem me.
Give me life according to your promise.
Salvation is far from the wicked.
For they do not seek your statutes.
Great is your mercy, O Lord.
Give me life according to your just decrees.
Many are my persecutors and adversaries.
But I do not swerve from your testimonies.
I look at the faithless with disgust.
Because they do not heed your commands.
Consider how I love your precepts.
Give me life according to your steadfast love.
The sum of your word is truth.
And every one of your just and righteous decrees endures forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Plead my cause and redeem me.
Give me life according to your promise.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 7th chapter. Do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? Thus, a married woman is bound by the law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would have not known sin. I would not have known that it is to covet if the law had not said so. You shall not covet. But the sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. Apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, But when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death for me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin, producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person, because he is a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Amen. God, our Heavenly Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text is the continuation of the Holy Gospel from last week, Matthew chapter 10. You'll hear a bit of it as we go. It's been really, really wonderful getting a chance to see the family, to see so many familiar faces and friends, see where Marta and I grew up, where we fell in love, showing the kids where I proposed to her down at Camp Pine Shore. See my childhood home in Hubbardston, which remarkably, though decrepit, is still standing. I'm reminded of the incredible providence of God. And this undeniable grace that we've received. It's so free, though, this grace, that even ones that we love and cherish haven't received it yet or have fallen from it. It just seems impossible that salvation could be that free in Christ. When the memories come flooding back in, and they do as you walk through these familiar woods and see these familiar places, it's not just nostalgia, looking to the past and longing to have it all back, like some kind of strange second chance. It's looking back and remembering, as if for the first time, what lies ahead, what you and I have been longing for all our lives and couldn't exactly put our finger on it. C.S. Lewis calls this surprised by joy. So I suppose coming back home, I'm a bit surprised by joy. What I see here in this place, despite all the battle scars that we've suffered personally, despite the real sorrow of losing those whom the enemy snatched away, and the bittersweet sorrow of those who have fallen asleep in Jesus and flown away to their eternal rest, despite all that, I see grace upon grace in the power of God's forgiveness, washing away every last stain of sin and returning us again and again to innocence so that we can in love, as if we have been dearly loved. And we have. We were made to live in a blessed, holy communion as one in Christ, as one huge family of humanity bound up in the Son, to the Father, in the Spirit. And Jesus came to do it, despite sin, despite all, to break down the walls of hostility and to declare our independence from sin and death and unite humanity from all the four corners of the earth by his own blood. If America only knew. If America only knew the freedom of that sweet and blessed country where our citizenship is. All that to kind of say, the words of Jesus are extremely hard to hear this morning. I mean, we're gearing up to celebrate our nation's Independence Day. It's a time to gather with family and friends for cookouts and fireworks with children's really sticky hands and swimming. And thanks to God for the freedom that we do enjoy, however long it lasts, however temporary. And maybe like you, you're going to see some family that you haven't seen in a long time. And then our Lord comes along and he tosses a wet blanket on the party. Don't suppose, he says, don't suppose that I came to cast peace on the earth. I didn't come to cast peace, but a sword. To divide a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, a man's enemies will be the members of his own house. Now, taken at face value, that contradicts everything that we know about the Prince of Peace, about the prophet who was to come and bring peace, the God who, by virtue of his incarnation, made peace with God and man in his own incomprehensible person, God of the substance of the Father. Begotten before the worlds, a man of the substance of his mother, born in the world, perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh, subsisting equal to the Father as touching his Godhead and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood, who, although he is God and man, yet he is not two but one Christ. No division. And the one who made peace with God and man in his own person is the same one who has redeemed, restored, and united all things in himself by making peace by the blood of his cross. St. Paul says it this way: therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But this morning, it's not peace. At least not the way that we think of peace. And I think that's important. He's not talking about peace by way of compromise or going with the flow or ignoring the truth. He says, I've thrown a sword into this world to divide. So what does he mean? Well, first, it's to clear up any misconception that we might have had about him. The world, for sure, but even Christians can easily imagine that God is merciful in the way that we think mercy should be doled out. The world and our own nature wants to turn forgiveness into acceptance, even acceptance of sin. And grace and mercy are just good excuses to get back to that earth-bent and selfish life that we'd been living before Christ ever called us. the gospel becomes something altogether different. It's not that Christ died to take away sin, but that Christ died to make you feel better about your sin so that you'd be more comfortable being, well, you. That's the kind of accepting Jesus that the world wants. But Christ the Lord says, I've come to divide, to kill, and to make alive. Not because he hates family, my goodness. He made family. Every last member of your household, from conception to the grave, is a soul that Jesus has longed to gather like a mother hen gathers her brood. And yet he says, I've come to divide, because he knows what can take your heart from him and mine. He came to set you apart from the most precious thing that will take you away from him, the thing that you could possibly treasure the most in this world. He's come to divorce you from the things that would turn you away from the only thing that can save your soul. Whatever we're tempted to love more than him, he's here to get rid of it. Sometimes that's family, and we've experienced it. And sometimes that's our passions, our sin. Sometimes that's our own righteousness according to the law, which is why St. Paul says in our epistle this morning, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. In other words, you're no longer of the flesh and enslaved to the law. You have married another. If you are alive to God in Christ, you are dead to sin. Matter of fact, that's the way it is. If you are baptized into his name, you are not your own. Stop living like it. You were bought for a price, and God the Father knows how much you cost. But I want us to see here, notice the subtlety of the text. He's not talking to prostitutes and tax collectors here. He's not talking about sinners, whom even the world knows are sinners. I mean those whose sins have brought about some real sadness in their world for everyone to see, who've been enslaved by what we might call the lower passions, such as greed and lust or addiction that bubble up in our nature. Even reason tells us that there's nothing to be gained for following the flesh. Not really. No one really thinks that drug or booze is going to make you happy. No one thinks that speed dating is a really great idea. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong, though. If you've suffered with it, Christ has come to cleanse that too. Christ has come to cleanse any of us who have fallen into the world headlong and been enslaved by our passions, money, pornography, whatever. But Christ is talking here to, you know, you sophisticated Christians who have learned to sin on the sly, have we not? That is, he came to deal with us that have learned to cover up our sinful nature somewhat. That is, he came to save the ones who seem to have it all together, who seem to be the most charitable, whose love appears to be noble in every way of their lives. The ones who've loved their family, even the really hard ones to love. Who've loved the ones that God gave to us, father, mother, brother, sister, children. We say, how could Christ come to divide us from them? Whether it's money or fame or creature comforts or your own family, thus says the Lord, you shall have no other gods. And the Lord your God is a jealous God. It's because he knows us. Not some deficiency in him that he needs us, but he knows our hearts. He knows how quick we are to compromise and to make peace, whatever the terms, ready at any sign to flee discomfort, turn from heaven just so that we can have a little bit of peace here on earth. That's why he brings division. Between anything that would turn us from him and his word. But he also never said, cut yourself off from them. Where would we be if Christians had cut themselves off from us? The Holy Spirit only comes through his holy word and sacraments, and Christians are the only ones who have the word and sacrament to save their souls. No, Jesus says, love them more than you ever did, but come out from among them and be separate. Love them, but follow me, says the Lord. How will we ever lead them to Jesus and out of bondage if we never set out from Egypt? Or if we're always trying to get back in? People we really care about will tell us, you know, we're not against you in this thing that you're doing in Christianity, following Christ. It's just that we want you to come back to have things the way that it used to be. You know, the way that we lived together and the way that we talked together and the things that we were interested in. If you did those things, there wouldn't be this kind of division between us, they'll say. Of course, they're right. And the Roman officials, they were perfectly sincere when they told us Christians, if you just made a little sacrifice to Caesar, we'll all get along just fine. And they were right. And those Christians had friends and families who watched and cried out and said, oh my dear, please just say what they want you to say. Just compromise a little and we'll have some peace. And they were right. There would have been peace. That's the kind of nostalgia that leads to destruction. Let's go back to the way that things used to be. If we cross back where we came from, what will it profit a man if he gains his whole family, his whole life, and he loses his soul? Who's going to call them in from the storm if we don't have shelter ourselves? That's what our Lord means. And that's why the division. So, beloved, be careful of what you do for the sake of peace in this world. I mean, you've got family or friends staying over, and they don't really believe in Christ, and they don't pray. So, even though Christ has commanded you to pray and to remain in his word, you decide, you know, just for the week, we'll give it up. It's pretty awkward. It's all for the sake of peace, after all. Or your business partners or your friends, they really wouldn't understand why you can't do, you know, whatever. Or why you have to do this other thing because Christ commanded it. Because they're in the dark and they don't know him. They don't know what you're called to. And so even though Jesus tells us that you've been washed and you have been reborn and you are clean, you go along just for this one time for the sake of peace. Or your son or your daughter wants to do what people do who are still dead in their trespasses and sins, even to the point of refusing to come to worship the only one who can save them. Even though the Holy Spirit baptized them and put them into your hands, you let it go, you know, for the sake of peace. Or so you thought. But for the sake of whose peace, really? I mean, I know it gets awkward. I know it gets strange. It's almost like you're living in your own house as a foreigner. So be it. So be it. Beloved, consider Jesus, who came as a sojourner here, who endured so much opposition from sinners. Consider Jesus, who endured so much opposition from us, until at last we receive the Spirit. Consider Jesus, who was divided for the sake of the many. So often we've tried to save our lives or the lives of others, but we are not their Savior. We are not our Savior either. Jesus is. Jesus is. He was the one who'd be put outside the camp, it says. He was the one who was crucified with a lot of sinners, and bearing every sin as if he were the only one that had ever sinned. He was divided. He was set apart. He was torn apart. I'm the one you want. Let these others go. Which is what he said to that mob of soldiers that came to arrest him. But he could have very well said it to his Father in heaven. It was the Father's wrath who would be poured out on him alone, and therefore not on you. Take me, let these little ones go, says Christ. He told us, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. But it's not just a nice sentiment. He showed us by giving his very own life. Those were the Father's terms of peace. And he did the Father's will and was cut off from the land of the living, and he took the punishment of our sin on his own body. So whoever's been losing their life to sin, I mean really stupid sins of laziness and lovelessness and subtle sins of pride and self-deceit, Jesus has lost his life so that you'd find it. He who knew no sin became sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God and have peace with God and be welcomed in where there is only one Christ and one humanity left. For Jesus' sake, that life is by grace ours now. We stand in it. We walk in it. We breathe it. In him we are already seated in the heavenly places by faith, so that we might hear and now lose our lives for other. It's just learning to do what he did. We'll never do it like him, but now we can. That we might spend and be spent as he was, to give our lives as a living sacrifice, not to redeem the enemies of our own household or ourselves, but to point them to the one who already has. It may hurt to see the division. It might leave scars. But that's nothing to the crown of life that is awaiting all those who have put their trust in Jesus. For you, for me, and for Jesus' sake, for them too. In the end, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And until then, call him home. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O most merciful God, Lord of heaven and earth, rule and govern your church and all her pastors and ministers, that she may be preserved in pure doctrine of your saving word and defended against all adversaries. In so doing, strengthen our faith and deepen our love. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, your Son was rejected on earth, even by his friends and relatives. Console all Christians who feel the sword of division brought about by the confession of Christ's truth, especially those who cannot find agreement within their own families on the Word of God. Assure them that their stand for your truth is necessary and guard them from seeking a false or easier peace. Turn us in every earthly disappointment toward the promise of your eternal and undivided church triumphant. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Father in heaven, bring earthly peace, not a sword, to our homes by your grace. Foster a common love and knowledge of your word among husbands and wives, parents and children, and guide their love for one another by your love for them. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, watch over all who make, judge, and minister the laws of our nation, and preserve us from sinful temptation or contempt of good order and godly laws. Give to our authorities integrity and honor, and bless all inhabitants with charity and love. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord of heaven and earth, strengthen your people to hold fast to your word in times of trouble, especially those who have asked for our prayers. Jason, Linda, Nancy, Judy, Rosemarie, Nancy, Dale, Dick, Eldon, Audrey, Robert and Ruth, Aaron Kate, Sherry Nord and Ed Pinnard, Vivian and Anita, and also our homebound members, Karen, Rick, Jeanette, and Andrea. Preserve them from false beliefs and despair. Sustain their faith in Christ, in his peace, and in his life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we have died to the law through the body of Christ and now belong to him who was raised from the dead. Prepare all who commune this day with penitent hearts and a true confession of faith to receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, in your mercy. Also, Lord, we lift up all those who travel, especially the Gregory family and the Jackson family. Be with them and send your holy angel to guard and protect them and bring them safely home. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless us in Christ that we may bear much fruit. Receive our inadequate thanks for your kindness, especially toward all who have died in the faith and now rest from their labors. Preserve us in the way of the Holy Spirit until we stand with them in glory. For you live and reign with the same Son and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. And salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection Open to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you
Psalm today is Psalm 46. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter, he utters his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear, he burns the chariots with fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Thank you.
true body and the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
This healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face toward you and give you peace.
Amen.